Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you again for listening. We so appreciate you tuning in to us on a weekly basis. We have lots to talk about today. We have three lovely ladies who will be joining us to talk about things, all things happening in our area. And first up is Diane Baldy. Diane is the president and CEO of Hospice of the Sacred Heart. And Hospice has been going strong for how many years now? 21, Di? 20? Where are we?
22.
Oh, baby. So here we go. I knew we just celebrated a little bit ago. So, wow, that time flies. So lots of, and Diane, what I, and I don't know if you can do this, but is there a way that you can briefly just say the spookiest part of Diane being who she is and where she is with Hospice of the Sacred Heart when this wonderful organization started 22 years ago? Is there a way to encapsulate that, Di, or do we need that for another show?
Because I think I can do it quickly, and I do want to do one correction. I'm the CEO. Dr. Bucci is the president.
I'm sorry. Yes, I know that. To be honest, I didn't know that. I thought I knew he was chairman of the board, but okay, there you go. I stand corrected.
I had met with Dr. Bucci. He wanted to start a hospice in honor of his late wife, who was a wonderful person who did great acts in the community, and he wanted to honor her in that way. He reached out to me. He right after she died, 6 months or so, he was on a retreat in California, and he had asked his staff before he went on this retreat to find someone who could start a hospice in Angie, his wife's honor. And his part of the retreat was meditation, and he was telling me the story, and he was walking, and all of a sudden he realized that when he got back to Wilkes-Barre, they were going to have found somebody who'd start the hospice for him. And at that time, he was walking under the base of Mount Baldy. So he got my attention quickly. And then he got back to Wilkes-Barre, and the nurse came up to him, and she goes, Dr. Bucci, I think I know somebody who may start the hospice for you. And he said, went through the whole story. I was walking under the base of Mount Baldy. She went pale because my name was on a piece of paper in her pocket. It was a nurse I had worked with many years ago at then Mercy Hospital. So that's how the journey began. And two other, bumps in the road and highlights in the road, but that's where we are 22 years later.
And the fact that he's on the base of Mount Baldy, and this nurse says, here's the woman's name, and it's Diane Baldy. I love that story. It gives me, I always go like this after the story, it's unbelievable. But anyway, so 22 years later, we're in the throes of a wonderful event that happens on a yearly basis for us. We had a little bit of we postponed it during COVID a couple years there, but we're back in action. We've been going strong, and it is the Hospice of the Sacred Heart's Remembrance Walk, which is held every year at McDade Park. When I started doing some work, and full disclosure, I do contracted work for Hospice of the Sacred Heart, and I love every minute of it. And Diane and I, when we got together, we went over to McDade, figure out where we'd do this walk. And even when we mapped it out, we were on a golf cart, the two of us. I think, who was driving? You were, weren't you, Diane?
I think so, yeah.
And we're like, okay, here we go. And we're, it was hysterical. But the bottom line is it's been everything we thought and Diane wanted from the get-go when we first met and we talked about all of this. And it is the most peaceful. I tell everybody, Di, it's thoughtful, it's reflective, it's calm, it's peaceful. It's talking about your loved ones and what they meant to each other and what it brings back, that spirit that it comes to you every time you're there, because people just want to talk about their loved ones and remember them, and that, hence the name, as Diane wanted, Remembrance Walk. It is a beautiful, beautiful morning, and it's coming up 27th of September at McDade Park. Registration starts at 8:30 in the morning. The walk kicks off about 10 o'clock. Wonderful food by Mansour's. We have a few connections there too, don't we, Diane? With big shout out there to Mansour's. Yes, because Carolyn Baldy Catalano and her husband Mike are the owners of that fabulous place, and Carolyn and Mike do such an incredible job helping and getting us all the refreshments and things we need to make people feel happy. But Diane, talk about the walk itself. I know it's sponsored by the Wright Center. We have PNC and Senior Healthcare as the two major T-shirt and bag sponsors, and then we have a host of many wonderful people who help us and step up to the plate every year. But from your perspective, talk about a little bit about how this, for you, what you wanted, where it is, and what you can expect this year.
Sure. And I think for every year that we've done it, we didn't have any big expectations. It was really based on not a fundraiser, but for an opportunity for people who have lost, not necessarily our own patients, their families as survivors, but anybody in the community who has suffered a loss. Because if you haven't suffered it, you know, you don't really, you can't discuss it with anybody. Or, but if you have the same problems or the same ways to, you know, kind of guide yourself through grief, this is a wonderful opportunity, because for those couple hours, you're there for that person you've lost. What I mm-hmm. love are the teams that come together for, you know, their grandmother or their husband or their wives. And there's so many teams every year. We usually have greater than 50 teams, which is five or more. And then there's team photos. And so it's certainly a solemn. There's a beautiful ceremony that we get to remember them for that minute. But it's also a celebration of their lives, what they've meant to us. And, of course, you know, Lori mentioned the food, but there's baskets and there's Course 50-50 and there's music, a lot of entertainment for children. And the walk is really just a beautiful, calm, peaceful walk around that beautiful pond at McDade. And for that, it's just, and for those pictures, and I always have them in my mind when we see everybody in their shirts walking that walk and either meditating or just having that one opportunity to remember that person they lost. So for mm-hmm. me, this year it's a little different too. I lost my oldest brother just last month. And so it's even for me, it's more personal this year, because once again, unfortunately, I'm in one of those walker's shoes, and it's a great celebration of his life and his family. He lived in Williamsport, so the whole family is coming, which is so nice. And but again, it's really a celebration. It's celebratory, and it's just that one time where, you know, you're going to devote and dedicate it to that memory of that person.
Yeah, and you know, Diane, the other thing that I really love, and to your point, what you were talking about, which is etched in my mind, is when the walkers are walking around the pond, that, as you said, the beautiful pond. I love it. It's so peaceful at McDade. I think it's one of the most beautiful parks. And around that walk, when you see from, if you're up at the top, at the Pavilion 2, which is where we are, and you look down, and you see the walkers and all of their shirts, and the reflection of the walkers in the water of mm-hmm. the pond, mm-hmm. it really goes back to the point of a reflective, it's a totally that type of a, you're sitting there and you're just reflecting on the beauty and the love of someone you lost, and then mm-hmm. you're up there and us, that we're looking down on this, and we see the reflection of those people mm-hmm. who are there reflecting on their, it's just so, I don't know, metaphoric or something. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful, wonderful morning. It's not a crazy morning. It's not running. It's all calm walking. And it's about a mile. It's not a long walk. I mean, you can walk around it as much as you want, but It's about a mile, and it's just it's a wonderful day to get out and experience. And what I love, Diane, we have our dear friend, as I call him, Academy Award winning DJ Jason Miller, who does a wonderful job of getting people moving and going, and he plays the right music, and he does a great job, and the kids and the ability, and Mike Straub there, as you said, by taking the photos of the groups, and everybody comes together and having fun, and they all meet, and it's such a beautiful morning. It's an hour and a half of registration time and celebrating and doing what you have to do before the event kicks off, and Dr. Bucci is usually with us and speaks, and Diane will open it, and it's chaired as in an honorary position by Stacey Lang, WNEP, and she comes and talks about her dad and what it feels like to lose a parent, and she puts herself out there. So Stacey, who you know from TV, becomes someone who's experiencing what we've all experienced, and that is the loss of a loved one, and what goes on. But more importantly too is the work that Hospice of the Sacred Heart does. Diane, please express a little bit about what they do on a daily basis and how they help this community in such profound ways.
Oh, of course. Thank you. And just to add one little thing to what you said, Laurie, you know, when you see those walkers, to me, it is a sacred moment. And I think that's when it all comes together, you know, all the hard work before on the front end of preparing for the walk. But when you see that, it cements it. So we are a non-for-profit. We have patients in 9 counties. We are a staff of nurses and counselors and social workers and volunteers, plus our administrative staff, work on a daily basis to support those patients in their home, wherever they call home, which could be a long-term care environment, such as a nursing home, plus our inpatient unit in Dunmore, which is a 10-bed unit for those patients who have a more acute need. And so together, you know, we care for over 200 patients a day, with an incredibly gifted, talented, professional clinical staff who really bring the message of hospice to all on a daily basis.
Yeah. And I'll tell you that my mom was a patient and passed at the unit, at the hospice of the Sacred Heart unit in Dunmore. And the experience and what all of the professional work that is done, and how not only are they caring for your loved one, but they are caring for you and your family, and how they make you feel, and just everything about it, Diane. Coming up, you have the Thanksgiving event that'll take place where it's prepared and packaged and sent, and volunteers or staff take the food directly for a Thanksgiving meal for everybody to enjoy who's a patient of yours, and then bringing it to the, which is always my favorite part, bringing it to the unit and having it available there, beautiful morning on Thanksgiving, to give to anyone and the family who's at the unit who need to feel like it's a holiday and it's Thanksgiving, and to be fed there, and to just the work that you do and the thought you put into all of the things that this community brings to you and that you give back to them, Diane. It's amazing. It's beautiful. And it's a talk about a nonprofit who really, really, really gives back and thinks and cares about what this community needs in times of sickness and in grieving. It's so well taken care of. And as I say all the time, everything starts at the top. It starts at the top, and it trickles on down through an organization, through a family, through whatever it is, it starts at the top. And you do a phenomenal job in that capacity, and I know how proud you are of all of the work that's done at Hospice of the Sacred Heart with your many professional people and people, volunteers, and people who come time after time after time to help. So thank you for that and what you give to this community. And again, this walk is coming up. More highlights, Di. Say anything else you want to talk about that walk and how people can register and get involved.
Still
we have a little bit more time.
Absolutely, and thank you for all those beautiful words. The walk is a wonderful thing. Whether you've lost someone, if you just want to come out for a morning, it's wonderful. There's still time to register. You can register the day of the walk. There's a beautiful team that will be ready there to greet you and also to offer solace and compassion to our walkers that are there. But it is I don't want to put a pall over it, but it's a beautiful morning and a time to celebrate their lives. So please, there's still time to come. September 27th starts at 8:30.
There you go. And like Diane said, it's important to note you can come that day or you can go on the website, which is www.hospicesacredheart.org. The information is there. How long, do we know the exact date, how long they can do that? But the info's there. Or you can call, Diane.
There.
What's the phone number?
Call our number.
It's okay.
570, sure. Call our number anytime and anybody will help you. 570-706-2400. Say, I need help registering for the walk, and we'll get somebody to help you right away.
There you go. And if not, you wait till last minute. We are more than welcome, or more than helpful, happy to take you that morning. Again, it starts at 8:30. Everybody will be set up by that point to take your, info and get you all registered and signed up. And we're so looking forward to another wonderful morning. We thank you. And Diane, I'll give you the last word on that walk.
Come on out and celebrate those people who you've lost and you love. And it's a very special, special morning. We're all looking forward to it.
There you go. Well, everybody, there was Miss Diane Baldy, who is the CEO of Hospice of the Sacred Heart, and Diane Baldy, RN. We have to give a nod to Ann Cadden,
right.
RN.
Can't forget that.
Now it's not.
That's right.
That's it, Diane Baldy, RN. So anyway, we thank you. It is the Hospice of the You're welcome. Hospice of the Sacred Heart Remembrance Walk, starting at 8:30 in the morning on Saturday, the 27th of September, at beautiful, beautiful McDade Park in good old Lackawanna County. We thank you for listening, and we're going to be right back. But Diane, thank you, and best of luck this year. Go on out and walk, everybody. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is the lovely Julie D. Immel. She is the producer of this fine show, and Julie is the owner of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, what can you do for them?
Thanks so much, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more, visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
Thank you. And we have another lovely lady joining us. As I told you, we have three lovely ladies today. And the second one is the CEO, president and CEO of Outreach. Her name is Lori Chaffers. And Lori is going to talk to us a lot about the Mighty Oak event that will take place. It's a fundraiser for Outreach. It is a wonderful event. It's been happening a long time, and it's going to take place this year, October 2nd, at Glenmara. The tickets are $125 a piece, and Lori's going to talk to us a lot of it, about the event and what Outreach does for our community and how the Mighty Oak was started and what it represents. So good morning, Lori. We thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Laurie and Julie. This is such a great opportunity to come and share with you about Outreach and the Mighty Oak event. So I'm just really grateful for the opportunity to be here.
Oh, you're more than welcome. So, Laura, the Mighty Oak. Let's talk a little bit. When this was started, you and I were, and Julie were just off air talking about this, and yesterday talking to Cindy Yevich, and who is a board member, and she's a dear friend of mine, and I love her, and we were talking about how this all started and what it represents. And I remember a long time ago, I got little beautiful little wooden acorn that I still have and love. And let's talk about the story of that, Lori, because you've been in this position now for how long?
About 4 years. It'll be four years in January. Yeah.
There you go. And you're doing a mighty, mighty job there, kiddo. So talk a little
bit
about this. You're welcome. The event and what it represents.
Yeah, sure. So Shan McCrone, who was our founding director, she has this wonderful story about the mighty oak tree, right? That she was doing some soul searching. She would talk about being in Nyack Park with her dog and leaning against this mighty oak tree and thinking, what shall become of us, right? And she looked down and saw this acorn and thought, that's it. You know, there's greatness within each one of us. We are like these tiny little acorns that grow into these mighty oak trees, these strong, sturdy, stable trees that become part of larger forests and part of our ecosystem and our community. And so that small, tiny acorn has greatness within it. And so the Mighty Oak is, the awards are really here to celebrate those folks who have lived into their greatness, right? Who have taken the opportunities that have been given to them and turned them into something awesome. And it matches the heart of our organization, because the heart of our organization is that anyone can succeed regardless of their circumstances. And so we work with families who might be involved in the child welfare system, or we work with individuals coming out of the prison system, or folks newly in recovery from substance abuse addiction. And so we believe that when people walk through our doors, we see in them the greatness, the potential that exists. And then we equip them, we help them identify what they need to become themselves mighty oak trees and part of this ecosystem that we live in here in northeastern Pennsylvania. So really the event is to honor those folks in our community who are making significant changes, but also to honor some of our participants who have made some of those changes too. So I'm really excited for this Thursday where we're going to get to honor a couple of those people in our community.
Yeah, I love, first of all, Lori, I'm a sucker for listening to people speak, because I'm a very auditory person, and I love to hear people who can tell that story. And I said to you when we started, you can tell that, you know about that, right, Lori, that you can talk? And you said, I do. And I'm telling you, that was the most beautiful way I've ever heard that put together. And it is so Sharon McCrone-esque, because that is the type of person she was, like, with the organization and continues to be. And I know she helps you in ways, which I love that your past executive directors are helpful to you. And that's important, because they all brought a piece of that puzzle. And now you make your difference in what you're doing in your creative way. But it was a beautiful way to say that. And it is so true that if you really look, like you were saying about Sharon, looking down and you see something, and I look and as I was telling you earlier, my acorns are crazy this year. And I look around and I have three mighty oaks in my yard, and I love my trees. I love them, and I love, they do a lot of things, because they shed a lot of stuff and eventually their leaves. But it's unbelievable to know how they come back and they roar and I think one of the trees in my yard, I think if three people stood hand to hand and wrapped around it, that's how big the base of this one tree is. It's amazing where it is and what it's done and how many years this guy and has been going out there. I find that so beautifully said in this metaphor of what people can be and how they show, like you said, how they can achieve their greatness and what you guys see in them. And it's so important to recognize that in number one, recognize it within yourself, but to have somebody tell you that, to have somebody reach in and say, this is what you have, this is what we can do, and here's how we're going to help you get there.
That must be so rewarding for you to be part of this whole system, Lori, to be able to be the leader of what goes on in that great organization.
Yeah, every day it is humbling, really, to know that my staff get to work and walk into people's lives. And really, we talk all the time about part of what we do is we help provide hope or rebuild hope, right? So for folks who have had various struggles, we try to say, hey, there is more, right? You can be whatever you want to be, and we can help you get there. And so it is truly humbling every day to come to work and know that I have a team of 80 people who are working with people from all backgrounds and helping them find that hope and then live into it and into that greatness. So it is. It's really awesome it's humbling to get to work with my team and the community that we serve and the partners in the community too.
Well, what you've done in this county and then now there is, you know, terrific work. And so many people say that about your talent. And that's so important because when you hear that in the community and people know what you're able to do and then to lead this organization, it's huge. How did you guys decide to, can you talk about the honorees this year, Laura, and how you're doing that?
Yeah. Absolutely. So every year, our board and fundraising committee submit nominations for the Mighty Oak Awards, and then we review kind of what's come in and how folks have been part of our community. So this year, we're honoring Chris and Mary Beth Scalise. They've been had a business in the year for 25 years, and they've been so generous in lots of ways. And they work with other organizations. They have an unwavering commitment to our community. And you can really see them investing both in helping reach financial health, in building relationships, and investing in organizations like ours who can help everyone get to that sense of stability. You know, the Scalises have a morning program on the weekends where they give financial education. And so I think that's such an important part. We've learned in our work at Outreach that helping people not only get a job but then know what to do with the money they got from that job is really key to moving people out of poverty. And so that their role in doing that in the community aligns so strongly with our mission. And so we are just thrilled that they have chosen to invest in us and partner with us, but also partner invest in our community. And then Bonnie Banks-Perugini is our Best Bay Community Spirit Award, which is really about folks who have volunteered. And Beth Bay was a co-founder with Sharon McCrone way back in the day when we were the Women's Empowerment Program before we became EOTC and now Outreach. And so Bonnie has been with us for a long time. She was instrumental in getting our building established back about 13 years ago. And she has continued from her journalism to her community advocacy to volunteering with hospice. She has had just a tremendous impact in her volunteer activities over the years and really showing that part of having a healthy, vibrant community, a healthy, vibrant Mighty Oak Forest, if you will, is really giving of your time and talent and treasure so that the community can be the best version of ourselves. So we're really thrilled for those two awardees. And then finally, we're also sharing the story of Davina Molina. And I don't want to give too much away of it here, but Davina is someone we met at a really low spot in her life and who, through working with our programs and her own self-determination, has really come night and day from where she was when we met her. And so she'll be sharing her story at the Mighty Oak Awards as well.
And I think that's so important to showcase someone who's been helped by your organization, someone who has walked the walk to get where they need to get and use the resources that are available, that are offered to people in our community who need that type of help and who have done it, walked through it, and came out the other side and now are thriving because of what they were able to take hold of and own and move forward in it. That's a wonderful thing. And it's funny because Chris used to be my neighbor in another life. And his house was in between my house and that big Mighty Oak that I just talked about. And he lived on the other side. So there you go. Talk about full circle with that one. That's pretty cool. But Lori, I just think,
it's so important for people to understand what outreach does and the collaborations that you guys have with other organizations to get everybody, because that's one thing. You can do one thing and do it well, but you also need these other nonprofits that do work that you may not, or that you do that they don't, but everybody connects the dots to bring forward the resources for someone to hold on and grab and make what they can with it, because it's here. Our community is rich and vibrant with so much that we can offer people. And I'm sure, you know, being in this spot, Lord, there's always something out there for people to work together to make everybody's life a little bit better.
Absolutely. As I was saying earlier about the idea of being part of an ecosystem, it really is, right? We're reliant on one another. And so we are so grateful from our partners that we collaborate with, so like the United Neighborhood Centers of the world and the Right Center and Maternal Family Health Services, the prison, so many folks in government that we have to work with to help advance the lives of the folks that we serve, but also the stakeholders who say, hey, I want to be a part of that. I want to donate through the tax credit program, or I want to volunteer there for your children's career fair. So we really couldn't do any of this alone, and we're so grateful for the support.
Well, you do a great job, and it's going to be a great event. And again, just give everybody a quick overview of the event and how they can get tickets, where they can call, go online, whatever it is. Laura, if you would just tell everybody that.
Yes. Mighty Oak Awards will be October 2nd at 5:30 at Glenmora. And you can find more information at outreachworks.org. That's outreachworks.org. Or you can always call and ask to speak with Lori Ryan at 570-348-6484. And we look forward to hearing from you and celebrating with you on October 2nd.
There you go. Well, thank you, Lori, for being with us this morning, for telling your story. You said it beautifully, and you do a great job. So good luck to this event coming up, the Mighty Oak, and we will be, I'll see you there. And thank you. Thank you for your time, and keep doing good work. Thank you.
Thank you so
much. Everybody, you've been listening. Lori, you're a doll. You're a great, great gal. Keep it going. So please know we'll be right back, and we appreciate you listening. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Lori Cadden Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Lori Cadden Show. I am Lori Cadden, the owner of Lori Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Julie produces this show. And Julie, tell them what you can do for them.
Thanks, Lori. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more, visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
Thank you. And with us today is Holly Sirachi. Holly is an associate broker with ERA One Source Realty. She's been doing this gig for 22 years. She's a great lady doing great stuff and loves every minute of the real estate world. So we're going to talk a little bit about what Holly does. ERA, though, has five offices in 10 counties and about 80-some agents and going strong, led by the fearless leader of Miss Benita Arora, who is the broker owner of ERA One Source. And Holly, we are going to talk to you because stuff's going on, rates and
workspace and what we're looking at as far as home office, and is it still popular, and carving out some space in your home or wherever you have that you can create for hybrid situations, which seem to be even more relevant these days. But Holly's going to talk a little bit about that and what's going on in real estate. So welcome, Holly.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
So off air, we were having a nice conversation, and now we're bringing it on air as to what's happening with the rates. How are we doing? Where are we at? And how are things looking?
Things are great. I mean, obviously the Feds met and the rates went down, which is great. You know, depending on the loan, type of loan that you're getting, I don't think that, you know, low six is bad at all. I mean, obviously in comparison to 2.85 during COVID, you know, that seems high. But again, in my 22 years, I've only seen the rates that low twice. But they're getting there. And then the Feds announced that, you know, they're going to meet two more times this year. So we'll see what happens. But definitely very interesting to keep an eye on that and see where that takes us. I think that you'll see people refinancing if they continue to go down. And then I'll also, I think you're going to see people letting go of the rate that they, you know, like selling their home, because before they were like, I'm not going to sell my house because I'm in such a low rate and, you know, I don't want to move right now and buy a bigger house or a smaller house because I have this great rate. So it might start to set things in motion and hopefully get some more inventory and loosen things up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think so, too. I think that'll be the push people need. But it is funny, and we do talk about this all the time, but it's so important to note that this rates in the 6% area are so low. And because of the fluctuation since 2020 and the through COVID and all those lower rates and encouraging buying and spending and all that kind of stuff, it you know, that was something that I don't know that we'll ever see in our lifetime, but the fact that it happened and that now we are sort of, you know, if we talk to any real estate agent, any mortgage broker, anyone will tell you this, banker, it's the rates are, they're really great rates. You know, whether mm-hmm. you missed out or it was available then, it's just what it is. It's the reality of it. It's not, it's a pretty decent rate to put forth and base your mortgage on. So I think I really believe, because years and years and years and years ago, rates were so high. I mean, mm-hmm. savings rates were high, but you know, mortgage rates were in the teens years and years back in the 80s. I mean, this was, I don't know how, when I think about it, I think, oh my God, how did people do it? So this is like a drop in the bucket, although it seems like it's high because it's a little higher than what it was years ago, but a few years, but it works, and people are working with you, and there's so many programs and things you can do. And also, Holly, the need, as we were talking about, you said, which is a true statement, your house is your sanctuary. And so people are realizing when they work, and that not just when they come home after leaving and working all day and coming home to their home, people are working within their home through either hybrid situations or full-on work-from-home situations. So therefore, it creates that need when people buy or sell that they have a space for them to work. How are you seeing that, Holly, in what you do and your clients and people asking? Does it seem like they're younger? Are they, or doesn't it matter about age? How is that reflective in what people are looking for in buying a property?
Well, I think our situation where we're located is very unique because, you know, obviously we can, you have somewhat affordable housing, and so you have a little bit of space, and you can work from home, or you could do a hybrid situation or what have you. But, you know, my daughter lives in New York City. You know, you're not getting a lot of space there. So one might not want to work exclusively from home if you are in a studio apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need a change of scenery. But I think that, you know, the thing that I realized and saw during COVID was people really appreciating our area, appreciating our lifestyle, appreciating the fact that, and I say lifestyle meaning you could go outside, you have nature, you could go on hikes, you could get an affordable house, you had a yard, and, you know, you're 2 hours from a city.
Right.
And so they really liked that when they were given the option to work from home. They migrated back to our area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't so claustrophobic to work from home. You know, there, I have individuals that, like, you know, friends that, you know, work in the city. They would, you know, take the bus in a couple times a week and then obviously didn't have to anymore. And New York City has called a lot of people back into work. And, you know, that's a tough thing. If you've been commuting and working from home, that's a tough thing to go back to, you know, catching a bus at 5 o'clock in the morning and getting home at 8 o'clock at night. But fortunately for our area, you know, you could do a hybrid. And it really depends on, as we were discussing earlier, it really depends on the individual, which, again, your home is your sanctuary. So I have people looking more at their house and will the space work for them and can they make the space work for them? In terms of maybe one office or two offices, and really just loving the house. And that's very, very important to them, especially if they're working exclusively from home.
Yeah, because what you just said is true. Sometimes it's not just one person, but two people who now work mm-hmm. from home and having to get space for both of them to have their privacy, to have their discussions, to phone calls, to whatever, Zoom meetings, and to be able to just do their work, their computer work. It's hard. And a lot of people just pull up to the kitchen table, as you know, Holly, and that's where they do it. And then the other person is somewhere else. I mean, people were creating closets into little nooks for mm-hmm, people to work mm-hmm. areas. I mean, do you still see that when you go in, or do people say, oh, no, we don't want this to look like that's what we're doing?
No, I mean, I definitely see, I would say, oh, gosh, maybe 75-80% of my clients do need a space for an office. Regardless of whether they're working exclusively from home or not, it is still very, very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, well, I was just showing a property the other day, and both of them work exclusively from home.
Yep. And even my house, I mean, I have my business, my office is in my home. So I have an office in the back. It used to be a very small bedroom. And actually the owners of the property, who I love, Nancy Payton, when she originally lived here, she grew up here. And that was her bedroom. And we talk about it because it doesn't have a closet, but that's where she was. And that was her little room. And it's adorable. And I turned that into my office. And that's what I do. That's what I have. It's been there for years since I've started my business. And I love the fact it's upstairs. It's tucked away. It's a separate little room. I can close the door or not. And it's my little space. And I love it. So, you know, but yet if anyone saw it, it still doesn't look like, oh, because I have my exercise bike in there. You know, it's just a little space, but it's nooky. It used to be, years ago, it was an old kitchen because this house used to be a duplex and it was a kitchen. And I think, oh, my God, how could anyone? It's so little. But the cabinets, the two cabinets that are over where the whatever used to be there are still in there that are great and they're so adorable. But it used to be somebody's kitchen when this was a duplex. And I think, Holly, it is tiny. So I think But years ago, that's how they operated. It was small kitchens, and that it worked. But, yeah, I think it's important whether it's your own business that you're starting and you want to work within your home, or you're working for someone else or because it becomes a hybrid situation or a full-on work from home. Those things have to be available to us. So Julie and I were talking, thinking, wonder if that's still what people are looking for now, having been so many years later. Are they still looking for that? And that's what we were hoping you could tell us. So I guess the answer is yes, they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, definitely buyers are looking at their homes differently in terms of happiness. Before it was like, okay, here's your house because you have this whole other life outside of your house, which obviously we
right.
all do. But I definitely COVID made us aware of how fragile situations could be, right? So
yep.
you could be, you know, on lockdown for how many months? And so, you know, you're looking at that space as, okay, if we're here, and I don't know that it's they're not necessarily saying that, but I could, you know, they're saying like, okay, here's our lifestyle, here's what's important. And they're really analyzing the space as they go through. And when mm-hmm. I listen to them, I'm definitely hearing, you know, okay, well, we're going to spend the majority of our time here. So we mm-hmm. want, these are the things that are important to us. And home offices are still very important. Mm-hmm, for
sure.
There
you go. Good to know, because that's what we wondered, and now you just told us. So, Holly, how can someone get in touch with you if they want to buy a home, sell their home, just talk to you in general about all things real estate?
My cell phone is always best. You can call or text 570-885-0157.
There you go. And we will be back. Holly will be with you next month. We thank you for your time today and everyone else for listening to us and the three beautiful ladies we had on discussing all things that are happening in our wonderful town of Scranton, and not just Scranton, but I shouldn't say that, all of northeastern Pennsylvania. There we go. So thank you for listening to us. We have a wonderful weekend. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.